Welcome to Devotionary and our study of the book of Esther, called Immortal, Invisible. Today's podcast covers verses 1 through 11 of chapter 2. It's called Carried Away and picks up the story after King Ahasuerus has had some time to think about his rather rash decision to get rid of his queen. With the help of his counselors, he comes up with an ambitious plan to find a replacement. If you'll take a look at the passage before you listen to this session, it'll go a long way in helping everything make sense. Let's get started. Today begins a new chapter, both literally and figuratively. The king has had time for his anger to abate and to think about what he's done. Queen Vashti has been banished from his presence, and he is now having second thoughts about his decision. She was obviously beautiful, and now that he's sober, he's experiencing regrets about having issued his decree. But no worries. He's surrounded by those who are more than willing to help him get over any remorse he may be feeling. After all, he's the king and he can have whatever he wants. So he's given yet more advice on how to deal with his problems. Yes, Queen Vashti was beautiful, but she was also replaceable. He could have his pick of any woman in the kingdom, and no one could refuse him. So he listens to his advisors and issues a command to, quote, gather all the beautiful young virgins to the harem in Susa, the citadel, end quote. Esther 2, verse 3. He will choose his new queen from among the many viable candidates. Not only that, he will enjoy the company of all the others as they join his royal harem. These opening lines of chapter 2 portray the power and the immoral decadence of King Ahasuerus. Women are nothing more than possessions intended for his pleasure and examples of his power and wealth. These young women will be forcibly removed from their families and treated like personal slaves of the king. In fact, when the author says the girls were, quote, gathered together, end quote, the Hebrew word he uses is kabatz. It literally means to grasp with the hand. They are going to be snatched up and placed at the disposal of the king to do with them as he sees fit. They will become his personal playthings, his sexual slaves. But there's something else going on in the story. The king's power is on display, but there is another power at work behind the scenes. Once the decree has been made and the gathering of the virgins begins, we are introduced to two new characters. Esther, a young Jewish girl, is living with her older cousin Mordecai. We're told that he is a Hebrew of the tribe of Benjamin, quote, who had been carried away from Jerusalem among the captives carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away, end quote. Esther 2, verse 6. He was an exile, part of the group who had been taken captive when Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed Judah and the city of Jerusalem. The phrase carried away is used three times in verse 6, and it is the Hebrew word galah. It means to carry away into exile. The book of Jeremiah records the details of this event. This is the number of the people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away captive. In the seventh year, 3,023 Judeans. In the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, he carried away captive from Jerusalem 832 persons. In the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive of the Judeans 745 persons. All the persons were 4,600. Jeremiah 52, verses 28 through 30. Mordecai is an exile, part of the Hebrew contingent who had been taken captive and forced to live in Babylon, far from their homeland and loved ones. And Mordecai has the added responsibility of caring for his orphan younger cousin, Esther. We're not told what happened to her parents, but only that they had died, and as a result, she had become Mordecai's ward. We're also informed that she had a beautiful figure and was lovely to look at. Esther 2:7. This particular trait was going to make her a prime candidate for King Ahasuerus' kingdom-wide talent search. And she would soon find herself snatched up and living in exile, far from Mordecai and her adopted family, as part of the king's harem. So when the king's order and his edict were proclaimed, and when many young women were gathered in Susa, the citadel, in custody of Haggai, Esther also was taken into the king's palace and put in custody of Haggai, who had charge of the women. Esther 2, verse 8. There is a sense of helplessness and hopelessness in this passage. Mordecai had been carried away into exile years earlier. Now Esther is being carried away into another form of slavery and exile as part of the king's harem. There was nothing Mordecai could have done to prevent his capture and exile, and there's nothing Esther could do to stop what seemed to be the inevitable. And yet, there is something going on that is far greater than the personal whims of a pagan king. There is a divine plan being put into place that is perfect in its timing and that supersedes even the will of the king. He only thinks he's in control. Esther catches the attention of Haggai, who is in charge of the king's harem. She is given special treatment and advanced to the top of the long list of potential candidates to be the next queen. Is it all the byproduct of good genes? Is this just good fortune or a case of fate? It would be easy to see all of this as simple coincidence, but the author won't allow us to reach that conclusion. As Esther's fate unfolds, she is under the watchful eye of Mordecai. He has instructed her to hide her Hebrew identity. We're not told why he made this decision, but it seems that Mordecai knows there is something greater going on in this story. He appears to have a sense that this is far more than fate or kismet. His God is at work. Mordecai may not know exactly what God is up to, but he seems to know that there is a greater force at work, a greater force than that of even the king.